Lord it be. Okay, I don't know how I decided to start this one out, but here we are. Welcome to another episode of Tossed Salads and Scrambled Eggs. I am your host, Trent. Like, I thought I was gonna say my current Twitter name, Entangled with the Dangle, but I hadn't figured out how I was gonna fit that in smoothly, so here we are. So welcome to another week of my tomfoolery. This is going to be another one of those episodes where you may hear some random beeping or something at some point, and, you know, it's fine. It's cool, you know. We live in life. It'll be okay. So, anywho, I have a few specific things I want to talk about, but I don't really have a theme for this week's episode, so it's about to be just, you know, it's genuinely going to be how it comes out. So if this is kind of all over the place and a little too all over the place for your taste, I do apologize. There aren't going to be too many episodes like this, but I decided to, there were a few things on my mind. So I'm just going to talk about exactly what has come to mind over the last week or so. And, we'll see how much of an episode it makes. So I know one thing for sure, that I'm going to talk about probably in the second half of the show is phone sex. Just because I think it's something interesting to discuss, but that's the only for sure thing I'm going to talk about. Everything else is just as I was sitting around with free time during the week, during the work week and the weekend, just thinking about. So, you know, I'm a big advocate for, you know, people exploring their sexualities and becoming comfortable in their sexualities, because, especially in America, I don't know how it is all over the world, and maybe as time goes on, I'll get to figure that out firsthand. But for sure, I'm in America, North America, the United States of America, you know, especially in Texas, although it's an interesting situation I'll explain, that, you know, as much as we try to use sex to do everything, to try to sell things, and to try to get people enticed for shows and TV shows and movies and things, as much as we try to insert sex into commercials, advertisements, use it for everything and anything under the sun, we sure don't like, on average, talking about the shit. Like, we just don't. And the thing is, that's where you get all this confusion, I think. I think this is where we all get all this, a lot of the issues that come into play when we talk about sexuality come from the fact that so much of sexuality discussion is hush hush, especially when you're younger, that it never gets talked about, and you have to like sift and find the information for yourself, or happen to maybe luck up and meet somebody older than you who can guide you along the way and kind of talk about things and discuss things and let you ask questions. But often that's not the case. Often you're just figuring out the best you can. You might do your own research, read your own books, talk to trusted people and figure out as best you can. And of course, eventually have sex on your own and figure it out. But something that was on my mind to discuss, on my heart to discuss, was just to ask some questions. And, you know, ain't that many of y'all that listen to me on a regular basis. I'm grateful for y'all that do. And grateful for anybody who just randomly decides to listen to this one episode. But I want you to just, you know, to yourself, obviously, because obviously you can't talk back to me here and now, but riddle me this, Batman, or Batwoman, you know, riddle me this. How was sexuality handled in your household when you were growing up, wherever you grew up? Because we all grew up in different ways and different family setups. But in whatever setup you were brought up in, how was sexuality handled? Was it, as I say, on average, is handled? Is it hush hush? We're not gonna talk about it. Is it the religion route of, at least for sure, Christianity and most other religions, organized religions that I can think of, if you have sex before outside of marriage, you're going to hell kind of situation. So just don't do it. Did your parents talk to you about it at all? Was there any kind of discussion? Did you approach them about it? Like, hey, I have some questions about some things. Or did they randomly approach you and come in your room or say, hey, I need to talk to you for a second, and then just start randomly talking about it? How did it go down? Of course, I can only talk about my own experiences. And I mean, you know, I'm a grown ass man. I don't mind sharing that because that ain't really nothing that big a deal to me. So for me personally, the way it happened was, well, let's start from the very beginning or as far as back as I can remember. I remember being a young boy. And, you know, when you're growing up, you know, when you're 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever, up to the point that you're, you know, bathing yourself and taking care of yourself, you know, your parents might run you a bath, and or one of your parents might run you a bath, and then it's bath time, get your ass in the tub, and you know, you might have some toys, you might not, but you in the tub, you getting soap in the bubbles, and you getting all clean and squeaky clean and getting all scrubbed down and stuff, and it's all good, right? So when I started getting to the point where I was, you know, taking my own baths, like at best the water might be run for me, but I gotta get up in that joker and take care of business when I'm in there. You know, sometimes I'd lay down in the tub and, you know, my dick would get hard and I didn't know what it was. I was a kid. I didn't even know anything. I just knew that this thing where my pee comes out gets hard sometimes and, you know, it's still a little floppy. So it's just, you know, just going to and fro wherever when it gets hard. I don't know what to do with this. I don't know what this is about. I don't really understand. I might knock it once or twice just because I'm sitting there trying to understand, but I don't know what the fuck this is. I'm just living. So, you know, that was probably my first real experience with my penis, you know. And then as far as my parents talking to me about it, let's see. Did my parents talk to me about it? No. My dad actually tried to give me the talk. That's one of the ways they used to reference it, kids, for anybody under a certain age who was like, what's the talk? The talk is one of the many ways they refer to as basically a parent's talking to their kids about sex. You know, it was the talk, the birds and the bees. I forget what other names it went over, but those are the big two. Those are the two big ones, the talk and the birds and the bees. Not really sure what birds and bees got to do with fucking, but you know, somehow they made that work. So that's cool, whatever, great. So you got the birds and the bees going on, whatever. They may have talked to you. They may not have. My dad personally, he tried to talk to me about it, but it was awkward as fuck. I'm not going to pretend it wasn't. It was awkward as fuck because by that point, I want to say I was in eighth grade. I kind of done a little bit of my own research and looking into things. I discovered porn by that point. But I still didn't quite know how everything worked. I was just like, oh, penis goes into vagina. But anything beyond that, I had to, you know, take my time and learn exactly what I'm looking at and what exactly happens on my own. And one night he came to my room. He was like, hey, I want to talk to you about something. And I was like, okay. Like, I gave him the Jay-Z. Okay. You want to talk to me? What's up? And he's like, how much do you know about sex? And I basically gave him the biology lesson version because that's all I really knew for sure. Like, I was like, that's all I know. And really, that's all. He ain't really expound on that too much more. He was just like, oh, well, I mean, you pretty much know the gist of it, you know. Have you had sex yet? I'm like, no, I haven't, no. I haven't even. By that point, I hadn't done shit. And I was like, I'm still confused on exactly what all is going on, so I definitely haven't done it because I don't know what the fuck it is still yet, all the way. So, you know, beyond that, he left it at that. He didn't really try to expand on it or add anything to it or, you know, nothing like that. He's just like, you know, well, if you ever need to talk, I'm here. But yeah, it seems like you at least know the basics. And I'm like, okay, I guess. Cool. Sorry, almost done with this extra noise here. My apologies. So, yeah. That's all I got for the talk. And the thing is, I know that different people had different situations. People have different cultures as far as family cultures, different cultures as far as different races, black, Asian, all the different varieties of Asian, Japanese, Chinese, Vietnamese,
and so on and so forth, Pacific Islander, black, white, Indian, everybody has the, and then religion, you got to throw that in there too. Everybody had their own versions of how much information they got, if they got any information at all. And like I said, that was the most information that I got from my parents. I wish I had gotten more, but I'm like I said, I'm not a parent, so I can't speak on the level of awkwardness that some people may have around it. And I think it also, I think another variation you have to throw in is what part of the country you're from. Because, mind you, I'm from Houston, Texas. So I'm in the Bible Belt. I'm in the part of the United States where we got the Bible thumpers. You got the, oh yeah, we believe in God and Jesus and amen and yes. And, and when you, that's what you're dealing with, you're not getting much of an explanation for sex outside of, you have sex outside of marriage, you're going to hell. Sex is for the holy, sacred institution of matrimony. If you're having sex outside of that, you are fornicating and you are going to hell. That's what you get. That's what you get. Whether you're in a black Christian church or a white Christian church, whatever Christian church, that's what you're getting. You're not getting any other explanation. You're not getting any explanation about hormones being introduced into the whole situation. You're not giving any guidance as far as what you're supposed to do as far as, being a teenager and starting to feel the feelings that you have for whatever sex you're attracted to. And you don't get any guidance. You're just like kind of left out there like, hey, don't do this thing. This thing that your body's kind of like urging you to do, don't do it. Don't do it unless you get married to the person. Outside of that, it's a sin and you're going to go to hell and burn in the lake of fire. Like, that's all you're given. And it's like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with that? Like, I'm horny as shit. Like, give me some information that I can use. Like, some tangible information that I can use outside of, I'm going to go to hell if I give in to these urges. Like, you're telling me this, but I mean, you're saying this is how I got here. So, yeah, that's, I'm getting bits and pieces of information, but I'm not getting the whole scoop. So I think it's just real interesting that we don't talk about it. We talk around it. We use it for all other kinds of purposes, but we don't actually have open and free discussions about sex regularly. Like, to me, it's like the human sexuality and health class that I had during my public health master's, where we were talking about it, and we all came to the consensus that really, age appropriate, of course, you should be talking about sex and sexuality and the genitals and all that stuff in an age appropriate way from as early as they start asking questions. As soon as you start getting questions, age appropriate, of course, answer them jokers. Give them something. Give them something so that it's an ongoing conversation from whatever time period that is until they die. That isn't always an open conversation that they're having, that they're not uncomfortable having, that they're not uncomfortable saying what the body parts are. Like, hey, I'm a boy, I have a penis. I'm a girl, I have a vagina. I have a vulva, I have a clitoris. You know what I'm saying? That they're not uncomfortable with it so that they can learn what they need to learn and do what they need to do and not be afraid to talk about these things. Because I feel like once you have that fear in you of, oh, I shouldn't be worrying about any of this until I'm married. And then, some people stand by that. They wait until they get married to do that. And sometimes it doesn't work out all that well. And when I say it doesn't work out all that well, I mean in the sense that they may have found themselves partnered with somebody whose sexual desires don't match theirs at all. Like the desire, the actual sex drive doesn't match, or the things that you're interested in, your partner has no interest in, and you're just kind of having to deal with that. And you're having to figure out what to do from here, because now you have all these questions about your sexuality or regarding things within your sexuality. And it's kind of too little. I don't want to say it's too little too late to answer them, but I mean, you're only going to get to do as much exploring as your partner feels comfortable with you doing, because outside of that, you're going to be up shit creek without a paddle. And it becomes real sticky when you're trying to figure all this out later on in your young adult and mid-adult years versus if it's been an ongoing conversation from a very young age. You just continue a conversation versus starting from scratch. And, you know, you would think, okay, we're adults. We should know how to communicate, right? It shouldn't be a problem. Nah, nigga, if you've listened to this podcast long enough, you should know one thing that I always say. We as a people, and I say people as in the human race, we suck at communication. We suck at communication in general. And so that translates to talking about subjects that are quote unquote taboo, societally speaking and culturally speaking, and topics that are awkward. Our communication gets even worse because fact is, when something's awkward for us, most people just tend to avoid it. We'll skirt around it, we'll avoid it, or we won't talk about it at all. We'll bypass it. We'll do whatever we can to not have to actually speak on it. And that doesn't help anything. Like, at the end of the day, that helps nothing. That actually makes things worse. So, you know, that was on my heart to talk about because I feel like that, as time goes on and God willing, I finish everything I need to finish and I become Mr. Sex Therapist that I want to be, there are going to be people that come into my office and I'm going to have to ask them about that. That I'm going to have to ask them, you know, what was your family's culture about sexuality? Like, how did they handle it? Did they actually try to talk to you about stuff openly? Did they try to have random conversations about stuff and you were just like, ew, that's gross, which is normal for kids and teenagers because nobody wants to hear their parents talking about sex. It's just weird because you're like, I don't know about y'all, but at least for me personally, I'm not trying to think about my parents fucking. Like, not at all. Not in the least bit. Like, thank you, Black Jesus in the manger. I never walked in on my parents. I've met many a person who said they walked in on their parents by accident. Like, they were walking in the room to get something or they had a question or something, and that door wasn't locking. Open the door, boom, they was fucking. So, there you go. I was fortunate enough not to have that kind of situation happen. But, you know, it's happened to people, and that's the most exposure you get. You don't get any real discussions, and having that taboo kind of way of handling sex, it doesn't get talked about ever, and then next thing you know, you're struggling with it in relationships with other people, and that's no fun. That's just no fun. It's something that happens, but it's not fun. So you want to avoid that type of situation if at all possible. But, you know, if that's what happens, that's what happens. And, you know, if that's what happens, it's okay. If you're a late bloomer, you don't learn about any of the stuff about sexuality until you're older. As long as you learn it, that's all that matters. Doesn't matter what age it is. Yeah, it might be awkward even then, but as long as you learn what you need to learn and be able to ask anything and everything you want to ask, that's all that matters. I'm a big advocate for people being able to ask what they want to ask and have understanding and be able to explore whatever it is they want to explore and find out what they do enjoy, what they don't enjoy, what are your hard limits, what are things you might want to try, or what are things that you fantasize about but you might not ever actually want to try. You may just want to keep it in the fantasy spank bank so you can masturbate to it or something, or watch porn about it, but you don't actually want to do it yourself. And that's fine too. You know, sexuality has so much to it, and I think that's one of the things that really interests me about it. But yeah, that was one thing that was on my mind. Of course, another thing I would be playing around if I didn't briefly talk about the whole Jada Will Red Table Talk. I ain't gonna spend too long on it because it was pretty self-explanatory, and well, Twitter, as per usual, dissected it and made fun of it and made so many memes and jokes and hilarious comedy that you just go on Twitter if you want to and type it in and go read the most popular tweets. That's really all you need to do. But in brief, for those of you who don't know, long story short, a couple of weeks ago, or was it last week? I can't even remember. I would say a few weeks ago, August Alsina, probably just to have something to talk about, along with the fact that he dropped a new album recently after not dropping music for however long. I don't really know because I don't really listen to August Alsina. I don't have anything against him, but I don't follow his music like that to know, oh, he hasn't done music for
X amount of time. I don't actually remember. I just know he hadn't dropped anything new. I hadn't heard anything slip out on the radio or anything recently. So I figure it's been a while for him. But to help kind of, sometimes when people have new albums coming out, they randomly start controversy or say something or do something controversial to help boost the album sales or draw attention to, oh, while you're here, kind of like how, for those of you who have Twitter accounts or other things, where they'll have something that pops or say something real crazy or wild or contrary, and then right under the same tweet is, oh, well, while you're here, follow this, or why don't you buy some of my merchandise, or something like that, you know what I mean? So I feel like that's partially what that was, if not in whole. But anyways, I'm getting all off topic. Point is, August Alsina was talking about how at some point in time in life, he was living with the Smith family. He was living with the Smith family, with Jada, with Will, with Willow, with all them other niggas. Autumn Smiths and August Alsina. They was all living in the same house. There was already controversy over the years of wondering, just because of interviews and stuff, curiosity about what kind of marriage Will and Jada had, because that's just people. People are nosy, and Will Smith and Jada Pinkett, or Jada Pinkett Smith, are both movie stars and TV. Well, movie stars and TV stars. So they, of course, people want to always be in the business, and that includes marriage. So, you know, there was always speculation that they had if they had an open marriage or not or whatever. And August Alsina drops this interview with The Breakfast Club, I believe, or if not The Breakfast Club, at least with Angela Yee, where he basically is talking about, without directly saying it, he basically said that him and Jada Pinkett Smith had some sort of relationship. Like, he confirmed, he wasn't direct about it. He kind of talked about it in a roundabout way, but essentially him and Jada had some sort of relationship. And, well, they all live in the same house, so I imagine there was some fucking involved. I just imagine there was. I doubt they just, you know, did a little hugging, did a little hand holding and called it a day. Now, I'm pretty sure they had sex. That's where all the memes come from, of like Will having this distraught look on his face during the Red Table Talk, and everybody just like Will's face while listening to August Alsina clap his wife's cheeks and all this other shit. So he, like I said, he didn't directly say, yes, me and Jada Pinkett Smith were fucking, and he wasn't direct, but he just talked about it in random vocabulary and random jargon, just saying, you know, we had a relationship, and you know what? He didn't even say we had a relationship. He just said, you know, Will gave me his blessing, you know, and all this other bullshit that was just like, okay, nigga, whatever. So basically, he confirmed that something was going on between him and Jada. Then Jada had to come out with Red Table Talk. Initially, all she said was she denied that her and August Alsina had any dealings. But then she did a Red Table Talk, and she basically was, I don't want to say she was interviewing herself, but she was just basically, her and Will were basically airing out what, quote unquote, actually went down. And, you know, she said, the main talking points from that was that Will ain't give nobody permission to do shit, that if the only person that can give Jada permission to her body is Jada, nobody else. And we're like, okay, good sis, cool, great. But that's not what we hear about. We hear about, did you fuck August Alsina, yes or no? Like, that's really all we just want you to confirm what we pretty much already know. So then she went on to blah, 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 blah. Me and August kind of got into this entanglement. And right after she said that, Will was like, entanglement, Jada? Just call it a relationship, girl. Just, you know, in not so many words, he basically said, just call it a relationship. You and August had a relationship. That essentially all you got from the Red Table Talk was that at some point in time, her and Will Smith were on the rocks. And during that period of time while they were on the rocks, she had a little, what the kids were probably calling up to this point, a situationship, or possibly not even a situationship. They might have just been fucking. The point is, at some point in time, they was involved with each other. They was up in each other's spaces and shit. That's what was going on. And so that's what it happened. She basically 100% confirmed it did happen. And her and Will got out of the rocky spot and they got their shit back together, and August left the picture. The end. They haven't had communication much since that, and that's it. And it was just like, okay, girl, we already knew y'all fucked. Like, we already pretty much knew that. We just, sure, y'all's confirmation is great, but we pretty much already knew that. So, it's fine, girl. It's cool. Whatever. And it's not really much to talk about around it. It's just that, you know, it's the nature of a relationship. Sometimes shit gets rocky, and at least from my experiences, my limited experience personally, and then just through friends and whatnot, relationships are ups and downs, and sometimes during them down periods, shit happens. So, you know, you either decide to work through it, or y'all break up and go y'all separate ways, or, you know, you do whatever is best for y'all. And what makes that easier, especially just using the example of Jada and Will being celebrities and everybody being all up in their shit, is that you want to have as few people in all up in your business as possible, so that you and that person can be free to make the decisions that are best for y'all. That if some infidelity happens and you decide that whoever wasn't the one cheat, whoever is the one that was cheated on, they decide to stay and y'all decide to work it out, that should be between y'all. That y'all shouldn't have to deal with a whole bunch of other people having to justify your decision. That if you and that person decide to work it out, that you and that person decide to work it out. And that's all that really matters. That it doesn't matter if so-and-so doesn't agree with that, if so-and-so thinks you should just leave them alone. If so-and-so thinks that you are crazy for taking this person back, or whatever you decide to do with it, that it should be y'all's decision together. It shouldn't be other people who's not in the relationship decision or have too much input on it, especially if you out and ask. So that's really all I got from it, that, you know, they had to figure some things out. They figured it out. Game over. It's done. It was just funny because now everybody's going to be calling situationships and fucking, or just a good old fucking, a good old roll in the hay. They're going to call it in entanglement now. That's what it's going to be now. Thanks, Jada. You've given niggas a new word to talk about it. You TI'd the shit. You tried to TI the shit, and now we have a new word for people hooking up and fucking. Like, thanks. Thanks a lot. I mean, it's kind of funny. I'm having fun with it, so, you know, but it's just interesting. She tried to TI the shit. When I say TI the shit, y'all know exactly what I'm saying. She tried to use a bigger word than necessary to just talk about something that could have been talked about with a basic word. So yeah, that's really all there is to it. Hold on a second, y'all. Give me a sec. So yeah, that was just interesting. That wasn't something that happened recently, so I figured I should talk about that as well. Was there any other random junk that I wanted to talk about with y'all regarding relationships, sex, all that kind of stuff? Nah, not really. I'm just about to finish Esther Perel's first book, Mating in Captivity. I mean, like I said, I'm over halfway through it, and I highly recommend it. I'm definitely going to have to reread it and reread it over time and probably get more stuff out of it, but it's real interesting. I'm really enjoying the book. I think that's all I have for this first segment. So this might be a shorter episode than y'all are accustomed to, but that's what's going on. So when we return, we will talk about phone sex. Yeah, you are listening to Toss Salad and Scrambled Eggs. Hey baby, I hear the blues are calling. Yes, you nigga, we are back at it. Yeah, what's up? We back to this episode of Toss Salad and Scrambled Eggs. This week you're getting some randomness and phone sex. So, phone sex. What is phone sex exactly? Let me tell you. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's having sex, or not having sex per se, but engaging in some sexual acts
or kind of using your imagination and working your way through sexual acts over the phone. This was before, you know, FaceTime. I feel like phone sex has evolved to FaceTime sex, where you're kind of live stroking your dick and playing with your pussy and doing all that good stuff. But I think I can't really talk, because FaceTime sex, you can't really do some of the things that you can do with phone sex. Because phone sex, you literally have to use, you have to have a pretty decent imagination, and you have to really be able to get into audio. Audio has to be something that really affects you during sex, that really helps you get off, because that's part of it. But essentially what phone sex is like basically you and this person are on the phone. Y'all are talking about, y'all just talking, and then, you know, y'all start talking about sex and talking about what y'all want to do to each other and stuff, and then talk about what you would want to do to each other. And while y'all in the process of that, y'all start masturbating, and, you know, y'all masturbate, y'all keep talking that shit, y'all keep talking shit to each other like y'all are fucking. And next thing you know, you know, supposedly one or both of you have come, and that is the end of phone sex. So here's the thing. For people who are actually into phone sex, like, some people make a career out of this. Like, you know, there are phone sex operators. There are people, some people have that phone sex operator voice that, it's kind of, I don't want to say it's raspy. Raspy isn't the way I would describe a phone sex operator's voice. It's, I think the word I'm looking for here to describe a woman's voice, it's like a, it's not deep, it's not a deep voice, it's a sultry, it's a sultry kind of voice that women, some women possess, that make them excellent for if they wanted to be a phone sex operator. Because really and truthfully, as with most things involving sex, women can easily and have easily turned this into something profitable, because, yeah, here's the funny thing about phone sex versus, like, that's why I didn't even want to bring FaceTime sex into the equation, because, like I said, with FaceTime sex, you can't really fake what you're doing, because now this person can see you. So if you're talking about you're stroking your dick, or you're playing with your pussy, or you're playing with your titties, they can see you. So if you're lying about that, they know you're lying about that. Like, if you say, oh yeah, I'm playing with this pussy and da, 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 and you're not doing that, they're gonna look at you and be like, Nick, I can see you. You know I can see you, right? You're not playing with your pussy at all. You're doing your taxes. Ma'am, you're doing your taxes. Or, hey, you're not stroking your dick. You're playing 2K. Like, you're not stroking your dick. You're talking this shit and you're not even looking at the camera. You're just, yeah, I don't, what? Like, you lose the whole thing of what phone sex is. So phone sex, obviously, if you're only going by what's on the phone, you can only go by what you hear. So if you're hearing this person moaning and cussing and talking shit back and, oh, and doing all the dirty talk that usually happens during regular sex anyways, the thing is, you don't actually know if the person on the other, you assume the person on the other end is doing it. But what I've come to learn over the years, more so on the women's side than men's side, because I don't think, for the most part, when men are having phone sex, they are stroking their dicks for real. Like, if a dude say he's stroking his dick on the other side of the phone, he is probably most definitely stroking his dick. 9 times out of 10, in my opinion. But for women, see, the thing is, women have had to fake it for a number of reasons over the years anyways, and we've talked about this in different capacities, that women have had to fake it over the years for a number of different reasons, and phone sex fails no different. Like, women can and will fake, if some phone sex happens to pop up and they're not really that interested in it as a whole, or they're not in the mood that particular evening, but they want to placate the guy that's on the phone, that's an easy fix. Like, because think about it. If we talk about regular, schmegular, actual sex, the average man, the average heterosexual man cannot tell if a woman is faking it or not anyways. Even if they're touching her body and they're interacting with her, most men can't tell if a woman's faking it or not. Because one of the things men try to use is audio cues of moans and dirty talking and, oh, I'm about to come and do, like, you know, a woman announcing this shit and be getting really loud and moaning really loud and shrieking and moaning and cussing and carrying on. But as we've all well learned, and as many a woman will tell you, That all can be faked, 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 easily. Easily, with no problems. Like, a woman can and will fake it, and, you know, a guy will think he's done his thing, when in actuality, while she was doing all that, she was thinking about her grocery list, she was thinking about her agenda for the next day, or what she was going, what nigga she was going to call after you left to handle what you didn't, or, you know, whatever she decides to do, she's thinking about that while she's giving you, don't stop. So, it applies the same for phone sex, that you're not going to know if this woman is actually, if the woman is actually into the guy and all that, she probably will be playing with her pussy too. But there are times there are probably more than a few times where women are not, where women are doing something completely unrelated, and, you know, they're still giving the fake moans, they're giving the fake cussing and the fake dirty talk and all that stuff. And really sounding like they're getting into it. And, you know, guy busting that, he thinks it's a really good time. And, you know, as long as he never finds out you were faking it, it's all a good time for everybody, you know. And really, how is he ever going to know unless you tell him? Or unless he randomly somehow catches you doing it, like, in the day and age of cell phones. I don't know why you would be doing this out in public anyways, but like, if you're in public and you're saying you're at home playing with your pussy and he happens to see you walking somewhere and you're doing all this fake moaning and stuff and he happens to come up on you like that, that would probably be awkward as shit. But I mean, outside of that, there's no way for a guy to ever know. And at least back in my day when cell phones were still kind of new, really, you were dealing with landlines and maybe some cell phones. So, you know, there wasn't really no way of knowing if somebody was doing that. But even with me going on this whole tangent about women faking it, there's something to be said about some good phone sex. Because like I said, for me, in order to do phone sex, if you have two people who are genuinely interested in doing it and getting a good orgasm off of it, you have to use a little bit of your imagination. You know how they always sat us as kids in front of the TV and said, hey, you know, read a book and watch Barney and watch Sesame Street and use your imagination and da da da. And yeah, this is where your imagination comes into play, because now you're supposed to be imagining the things you would like to be doing to this person, or that you would do to this person, or want to be doing, or whatever. And you're imagining that these things are happening and all that good stuff. And that, along with the auditory part of it, is supposed to help you be aroused and really start to enjoy your own stuff. Like, you're masturbating, but you're getting some assistance. It's kind of assisted masturbation, really. And it's really good. And then you bust a nut and it's wonderful. So I think when you have two people who are actually into each other and into that, I think a good time can genuinely be had, even though I said, you know, I talked about people faking it and not being interested. If you have two people that are genuinely interested, it could be fun. Because, you know, you're getting the auditory part of it, which I definitely think is a big part of sex, because who the hell purposely wants to, I'm not going to say who the hell, because somebody probably does, but for most of us aren't here for quiet sex. Most of us are here for moans and groans and cursing and shit talking and dirty talk, and we're here for that shit. We're here for people getting talked through their orgasm. So, you know, all that is well and good, especially through the phone. And then, because I'm the kind of person, if I'm in a hotel, if I'm living in an apartment life or whatever the situation is, and I happen to hear some moans and groans somewhere, and happen to basically figure out that two people are fucking somewhere and it sounds good, I'm not going to sit up here and lie and act like I wouldn't have my ear to the wall or my ear to whatever, listening like, oh, hello. Oh, okay. Y'all nasty. Like, for anybody who's lived apartment life, you already know. Yeah, I feel like if you've lived in enough apartments over the course of life, you've heard somebody fucking. Well, even if it was a quick 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, hour, all night long, whatever. At some point in life, if you've lived in at least, I'd say two, three, or four, I would say anywhere from 3 to 4 apartments over the course of life. Not even 3 to 4, I'm being modest. If you've lived in 2 or more apartments, you have probably heard somebody fucking. You have heard somebody having sex at one point in time or another. Because it can't be avoided. If we're all adults here and you happen to bring somebody home, boom, your neighbors are probably going to hear y'all. or if your neighbor decides to go out and have sex, if whether they're married to somebody or they're in a relationship with somebody or they're dating somebody, if they come home with somebody, if two consenting adults come home, you probably gonna hear some sex at some point in time. Like, you can't avoid it. It's gonna happen. So it's really just about, is it annoying to you, or is it like arousing if they really getting it in and it sounds good? Like, it's kind of like if you're on vacation somewhere and you have your window, or you're somewhere and your window's open and you happen to have a view into somebody else's window across the way and they're fucking. Like, if you're not into that, you're gonna see across the way, but oh my god, they're having sex, and you're just gonna go, you're not gonna keep looking. But if you get off on that, if you get off on voyeurism a little bit, then you're gonna look, you're gonna be like, oh hello, and you're gonna watch them, you're gonna watch them get it in. And again, I'm one of those people. Like, just like I said, I'd be the one to listen if I heard it. If I saw it across the way, I would probably do it. So, you know, I'd probably watch. You know, as long as they didn't, you know, if they can't see me seeing them and they're just going at it, I'm going to watch. I might just watch, you know what I'm saying? Pull up a little popcorn and just watch. So, that's what kind of stuff you deal with. So, yeah, I think phone sex has its place. It has its placing. It has its purpose. But it just depends on what you like, you know? Everybody's not into it. Some people will listen to this episode and be like, phone sex, that's so lame. That's so childish. But, you know, as I always say, to each their own. As long as you're not harming anybody or harming yourself or harming children or animals, do you. If phone sex sounds great to you, give it a try. Or if it sounds like it might appeal to you, give it a try. If it doesn't sound like it appeals to you, skip it. Don't ever do it. Bypass it. But you know what? I think that's all I got for y'all this week. So like I said, this week's going to be kind of a shorty, but that's what I got for y'all. I may do a few more episodes this summer. My schooling starts back up at the end of August. As far as I know, I am still online. So I won't be going to campus really that much. I'll be going to campus occasionally to try to see if we have library access. I'll see if they have access to the sound booth. If they do, I may go up there to record episodes. But really, I'm in classes online and in Zoom, so I'll have to use my laptop. So I'm probably going to be at home for those. So I may record an episode or two here and there during the semester. But since I didn't take the summer off like I normally do, I'm probably going to take the fall off. I'm probably going to come back strong in the spring, but for fall, y'all might not hear too many episodes, if any, from me. So I might give y'all a few more this summer, and then towards the end of August, I'll do one last one before school starts, and that may be all y'all hear from me until January 2021. So I hope you liked this week's episode. If you did, share with your friends, listen to some of my past episodes, and, you know, be safe out there, take care of yourselves. 6 feet apart, social distance, motherfuckers. Wash your goddamn hands, wash your goddamn ass and your feet. Those class people who need to wash their feet and their legs, y'all know who I'm talking to. Rest of y'all, take care of yourselves, be well. Love y'all. Peace.